Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
It's Friday, it's 10 to 6, it's Tom Swarbrick on LBC, which means only one thing. Galloping like a blooded stallion through the narrow streets of your brain, it's Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, I am 8,000 miles away from Washington this evening, in Johannesburg, watching the protests on America's university campuses from afar. Here, they have reminded many people of the anti-apartheid demonstrations at US universities that forced American institutions to divest from South Africa in the 1980s and urged President Ronald Reagan to take a tougher line against the apartheid regime. But back in America, there is much talk not of the 1980s, but of 1968, the year that student protests over the Vietnam War convulsed the country and put a stranglehold around the presidency of Democrat Lyndon Johnson. The protests are spreading rapidly, now taking place on campuses from the University of Southern California there in Los Angeles to Emory University in Atlanta. There, faculty members joined the pro-Palestinian demonstrators and were arrested alongside them. Police moved in to try and clear encampments on several university campuses, including the University of Texas in Austin.
UT Austin divest!
UT Austin divest!
From companies complicit!
From companies complicit!
In the Israeli genocide of Gaza!
In the Israeli genocide of Gaza!
Including weapons manufacturers!
They also demanded the release of all detained demonstrators and the dropping of all charges against them. By last night, the protests had reached Washington, D.C., and the campus of George Washington University, where signs reading Zionism is fascism, were prominently displayed by demonstrators waving Palestinian flags, including this student, Mahmoud.
This is a movement for a greater liberation. It's a greater liberation movement. And the Zionist state of Israel has been committing ongoing massacres for 7 months now, and this is essentially us demanding that the university partake and uptake, and essentially just having a stand firm against the ongoing violence that they're complicit in. 40-plus universities have taken up in encampments and liberated zones, and what we're seeing also is the Biden administration and the greater administration is really scared for that November vote.
We'll get to Joe Biden's level of fear in a moment, but on that same campus, it is Jewish students who say they are scared. David is one of them.
It makes me and a lot of other Jewish students feel very unsafe, not because they are here, but simply because of what they're saying. Everybody has a right to their own freedom of speech. But when that freedom of speech starts becoming hate speech, that's when it becomes dangerous. And when they're calling for an intifada revolution, they're calling for the death of the Jewish people as a whole. That makes a lot of Jewish students, including myself, feel very unsafe.
At the White House, it is not clear that Biden administration insiders fully understand the scale of fury that exists towards the president's handling of the crisis in the Middle East. The website Politico reported this week that the president himself does not believe the protests will damage his re-election prospects, which seems borderline delusional, given the fact that wherever he goes, protesters heckle him and call him Genocide Joe. Campaigning in Virginia this week, Joe Biden once again tried to thread the needle.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
But by attempting to satisfy everyone, he continues to satisfy no one. And as he expresses concern for the welfare of Palestinian civilians, his own government is simultaneously pressing ahead with fresh weapons shipments to Israel, despite the fact that the State Department has concluded that at least three Israeli military battalions committed gross human rights violations in Gaza. Republicans, by contrast, take a binary approach to the crisis and to the campus protests, and it was expressed by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, on a visit to beleaguered Columbia University in New York.
Hamas issued an endorsement statement of the protesters on this campus. They called them the future leaders of America. It is detestable. I'm here to proclaim to all those who gnash their teeth and demand to wipe the state of Israel off the map and attack our innocent Jewish students, this simple truth. Neither Israel nor these Jewish students on this campus will ever stand alone.
It is fair to say that about the last thing the White House needed was an intervention by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, which explains why the Israeli leader decided to deliver one.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. Now, fortunately, state, local, federal officials, many of them have responded differently, but there has to be more. More has to be done.
No, Mr. Netanyahu, it is not anti-Semitic or pro-Hamas to point out that in a little over 6 months, your extremist government has killed 34,000 Palestinians.
That furious response from left-wing Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont put further pressure on the White House to disengage from Netanyahu.
Mr. Netanyahu, do not insult the intelligence of the American people by attempting to distract us from the immoral and illegal war policies of your extremist and racist government. It is not anti-Semitic to hold you accountable for your actions.
What's going on at the college level and the colleges, Columbia, NYU, and others is a disgrace.
Former President Donald Trump commenting on events in that boomy corridor in the New York courthouse where his criminal trial over hush money payments to Stormy Daniels continues.
What's going on is a disgrace to our country. And it's all Biden's fault, and everybody knows it. He's got no message. He's got no compassion. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together, frankly. He is the worst president in the history of our country.
That reporter's question, what would you do, went entirely unanswered. Trump's prosecutor in New York, he would say his persecutor, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, suffered a terrible defeat yesterday in another case entirely.
Today's legal ruling is a great day for America.
Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, Arthur Adala, after an appeals court overturned the mogul's rape conviction in New York, a case brought by the very same prosecutor currently going after Donald Trump.
It instills in us the faith that there is a justice system, that a judge will sit in her chambers and look at the law and say, I don't care who the defendant is. If it's a former president of the United States or the most storied Hollywood producer of our generation.
He predicted Mr. Weinstein's conviction in California will also be reversed. Me Too campaigners are outraged, including actress Ashley Judd, who has accused the producer of sexual harassment in the late 1990s.
This today is an act of institutional betrayal. I stand shoulder to shoulder with women who have bloody knees, because male sexual violence may knock us down, but we get right back up. And together we are in this struggle for freedom from male entitlement to our bodies.
It has been a pretty heavy week, so let's end on a lighter note, although not necessarily for the White House. Joe Biden was in full cry on the campaign trail earlier this week, telling union members why his support for working Americans over the last 4 years means they should now unambiguously back him.
I see an economy that grows from the middle out and the bottom up, where the wealthy pay their fair share, so we can have child care, paid leave, and so much more, and still reduce the federal deficit and increase economic growth.
And then, reading off a teleprompter, he engaged in a classic Biden gaffe.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. Four more years.
And with that, Tom, I wish you all a good weekend. Pause.
Are you ready?
From Johannesburg via Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.